Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence. And we ask that you bless everyone that is tuning in online and everybody that is present here. Let your hand be strong over this meeting this morning to the glory of your name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bible quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. We are still talking about substance part 2. Hebrews chapter 10. And those of you that were here on the first night of Wine Press, you will understand what I mean by substance. Substance part 2. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. It's a quiet counsel for every man and every woman of faith. And we want to take that quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had a great recompense of reward." Can we read that scripture as a congregation? Cast not away your... I can't hear you. "Which had a great recompense of reward." Second Bible reading will be taken from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26 from verse 15. "Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, like as a woman with child that draweth nigh the time of her delivery, is in pain and cried out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord." We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. And we have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the land fallen. Now, the reason why I brought this scripture is because on Thursday night we were talking about the substance of faith. And you see, the issue of faith is critical. And you must understand the experience of what it means to have received substance from God. What this scripture is revealing is that it is possible for someone to be going through the motions, for someone to maintain faith language, for someone to be confessing the word, for someone to be doing everything in the natural as though there is a substance in the spirit. And it's only in the fullness of time that we will know if faith was actually furnished by the Holy Ghost on the heart of either that brother or that sister. I remember those days we were campus preachers, and it came to pass that once upon a time, when rooms were located, two preachers, I and another preacher, got the same room, and that was supposed to produce revival. Hallelujah. But those days, my prayer time was by 5 a.m. So by 5 a.m., I leave the room and I run to a very remote place on campus and I begin to connect with God. And the other brother said the reason why I was always hopping out to pray was because I had a prayer ministry. But he has a word ministry. And so he doesn't need to do the kind of stuff that I do. I said, okay, how do you get messages? How do you preach? He took me to the cupboard in the room. And he unveiled a sack. Saying, this sack, I have prepared all the messages for the whole year. So I said, how do you select which one is the message for the moment? He said, he picks anyone at random. Then he prays in tongues. After praying in tongues and there's fire on his spirit, he begins to dispense that message that he picked at random. And that's a style of ministry. That's a model. And initially he was getting results. Until 10 years after that time. You see, these people, the Bible says that they were going through bed pangs, the kind of cramps that women experience because there is a pregnancy. It is actually possible for you, because you have been in church for a long time, you understand faith language, you understand the motions of faith, you understand how someone under the influence of the Holy Spirit operates. And then you begin to do all of that, and you do not know that if there is no pregnancy, there is no drama you can do to create it. In 9 months' time, we are going to know whether you were impregnated or not. And so the apostle says, cast not away thy confidence, because that confidence, which is the substance, has a capacity to give birth to a reward. My emphasis this morning, in view of the fact that it is actually possible for you not to have substance and not know because you are still going through the motions, the emphasis I have this morning is to reveal the 3 symptoms that will always find expression if the Holy Spirit has furnished substance upon your spirit man as touching the reality of several things that you have hoped for. Number one, can you turn your Bible quickly? So that you will not be a victim of an abortion. Because according to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35, it is actually possible for you to cast away substance. Initially there was substance, but you did not know what to do to keep the substance alive. And you casted away the substance. There was an abortion of that which the Holy Ghost had furnished upon your heart. And you were still going through the motion. And still expecting a manifestation when the whole gestation period is accomplished. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Cast not away your confidence. Your confidence suffers damage when you place authority over and above the circumstances, the authority on the circumstances over and above that which God is doing on your inside. That which God is doing on your inside can only be experienced through your spiritual faculties. And I like to introduce you to the workings of the Spirit of God in the hidden and the inward parts. If you read the prophecy of Jeremiah about the New Testament economy, it says, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts and in their inward parts. There's an economy of God that governs your inward parts if the Holy Ghost is moving over your heart. And there are some symptoms that will find expression if that economy is still alive. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So that we will not become victims of a lost confidence. And then at the end of the day, when the gestation period is accomplished, we bring forth wind. It was 10 years after my association with that preacher in the room when we both left campus. 10 years later, that it became clear that God did not ask him to do the things he was doing. Meanwhile, while we were still preaching, everybody was active. Everybody had a message. It wasn't physically obvious that this guy has received nothing until the gestation period was accomplished, when the manifestations of the things were incubating in the Holy Ghost were supposed to find expression, and there was nothing to show. I remember I used to have a prayer partner, and this prayer partner, we began the adventure of prayer together. Started with 1 hour prayer, 2 hours, 3 hour prayer, 4 hours, 5 hour prayer, 6 hours, 7 hour prayer, 8 hours. Then we became comfortable with praying 8 hours. And when I was through with youth service, I was seeking direction from God, because I fasted throughout youth service seeking direction, and the Holy Ghost spoke about many other things, never gave me direction. So after youth service, I came back home and I met my friend. I said, I prayed all through, nothing. He said, okay, let's continue the prayer. Took a fast again on the 13th of January 2003, and we began to pray. We prayed from morning, prayed to afternoon. Then we had a church meeting from 5 to 7. It was a prayer meeting. We partook of that. Then we finished. And I felt my spirit was not satisfied. I said, all right. So we rescheduled and met in his house and began prayer again from 9 o'clock. And we prayed till 11 o'clock. And the NEPA took light. So he was going into the garage to change the face to the face where there was light. As he stepped out of the living room, an angel of the Lord appeared to me, and the things I was looking for 1 year revealed it to me. Then when my friend came back, I said, I just had an encounter. My prayer has stopped. I found what I'm looking for. My friend also stopped. Meanwhile, he had no substance. It was 11 years later that he now realized that he was not supposed to stop that prayer. Because when the gestation period was accomplished, he brought forth wind. In order to ensure that you are not incubating nothingness, there are 3 symptoms that is evidence of the fact that you are incubating something that is born of the Spirit of God upon your heart. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 17. By faith, when he was tried, meanwhile, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Are you with me? You are not with me. Stay with me. This Isaac that God was asking Abraham to sacrifice was the same Isaac that God had vowed that it is in this Isaac that your seed will be called. God, by an act of that disclosure, by an act of that royal decree, had said that there is a dimension of the covenant that was given to Abraham that Abraham will not experience. It will be Isaac that will bring those dimensions of the covenant that God made with him to pass. And then God now shows up again and says, okay, it's time for us to sacrifice Isaac. That was a major contradiction. It was something that is not good for the mind, because there were too many questions in that matter, which I don't have time to unravel. However, this was what made it easy for Abraham to be able to obey in spite of all the psychological contradictions and the psychological pressure and the turmoil that he experienced in seeking to furnish the obedience that God was requesting. So the next 2 verses gives us an understanding of the dynamics of the workings of God upon the heart of Abraham that made it possible for Abraham to obey God in spite of the psychological contradiction that he had to battle. How was it possible for him to obey? The Bible says in verse 19, he said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. There was an inner working of the grace of God on the heart of this patriarch that created another premise of logic in the crucible of his heart that made it possible for him to obey God when the situation and the instruction did not sound logical. The Bible says he accounted. That word account is the same word for reckon in the Greek in the book of Romans chapter 6 when he said, reckon ye now yourselves indeed dead to sin and alive to God. It's the same word that was used there. Oh my. Are you still with me? Now, there was a fiber of knowledge that was attached to that obedience. And the knowledge that Abraham had, the knowledge that was the basis of his reckoning, was that in the privacy of his spirit man, God had occasioned the disclosure of the fact that he has the capacity to raise the dead. So, faith is really faith when there is an inner revelatory knowledge that God gives you that makes obedience to stand on another foundation of logic. If you don't have that inner revelation that Abraham had, obeying this instruction will be impossible. But the reason why it was possible for Abraham was that in his heart of hearts, God had crystallized a revelation. And the revelation was that I have the power to raise the dead. It was on the strength of that revelation that he had in the privacy of his heart that he could now account or reckon. Because accounting and reckoning, are you still with me? Accounting and reckoning in this scripture is an activity of the mind. Are you here? And the accounting was based upon the fact that God had crystallized the revelation of himself in his heart. So based on that revelation, it was easy now for Abraham to say, yeah, if I offer him up, he will raise him back. So that was a new level of logic. Faith takes you to a new level of logic. If in your experience of the substance, there is no new level of logic that derives from an inner revelation that was crystallized in the privacy of your heart, then you are pregnant with wind. Number one. Somebody the other day in our ministry, a lady lost her husband, and the level of grief that she began to experience began to manifest what was on the high side. And the medical doctors in our midst now said if she continues to grieve at that level, we might have a medical condition on our hands. So I had to go see her. And when I came, she began to tell me her experience. How that her husband, her late husband, appears to her in her dreams and reminds her that this is forever. Our union is forever. Then I told her, you know why he comes? You know why you see those dreams? It's because you have not reckoned that he's dead. Reckoning is an activity, is a result of an insight. It is establishing a new ground of logic because you have been confronted with a truth that you never knew was powerful. I said you have not reckoned him yet dead. You have not accounted him yet dead. And the moment you have, and as long as you have not accounted him yet dead, you will still be interfacing with a familiar spirit that is masquerading to be him. Then the weeping stop. Then the dream stop. Then she picked her life back. She sent me a text this morning thanking God because she found herself in the Lord. As long as she did not reckon, the door was open for the manipulation of masquerading entities, taking advantage of her situation to create pictures that will trap her down on the same spot. The same way, the moment she reckoned, that activity ended. And the moment you reckon on the strength of an inner revelation, an inner knowledge that God has given you about himself, the moment you reckon, the premise of logic is shifted. And it becomes easy for you to do something that men will call impossible. It becomes easy for you to obey an instruction that looks illogical. It becomes easy for you to carry out heaven's expectation and wander out of your mind and travel with your heart. The greatest distance is not from east to west. It's a distance between your heart and your mind. And you need to migrate from your mind, migrating into your heart. And it will take an inner knowledge that precipitates in that chamber for you to have a different ground of logic. And on that ground of logic, obedience becomes easy. So the first symptom that a truly pregnant person in the spirit has is that knowledge, inner precipitation of revelation knowledge about God that gives you a different ground of logic in your mind. Number two, Hebrews chapter 11. If you are still with me, say amen. Sarah, because when we were doing the number one lecture on substance, we stayed in Abraham's household. So this number two lecture too, we are going to stay in Abraham's household, if possible. He said, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past the age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. A man of faith, a woman of faith, should never let go on the knowledge of the fidelity of God. When deceiving spirits try to haunt your heart in order to abort that which God is beginning to furnish, what they do is that they sell a testimony of the fact that God doesn't care, that God is not as powerful as he claims, and that God is not faithful. They make reference to experiences, circumstances, situations. Because anyone walking by faith that loses the handle of the fact that God is faithful has lost his adventure in his faith walk. The Bible says that Sarah, she received strength to bring forth, even when it was no longer medically possible. The doctors had ended her case in a big impossibility. And she was able to confound the wisdom of the medical people by an act of her faith. And the reason why that was possible was that her perception, her perspective about God was that He is faithful. Can you imagine how much of attack she had on her mind all the years of her lack of conception, all those years? Maybe when she just got married, they had take her to hospital. It's okay, there's a little challenge with your fallopian tube, but we can do something about it and service it. And then in the time where she was within the bracket of conception, all the aid that was available must have been administered. And the conclusion of the physicians was, this one is barren. With that knowledge of barrenness and also the complication of menopause, this woman refused to give up that the God that has been interacting with my husband, everything he told him came to pass. The Bible says she judged him faithful who has promised. Because if you are cut, I found out that prophetic words are time dependent. God might say something now and he will bring it to pass in the next 5 years. You might pray in tongues hard, but it will not change the time of manifestation. It's held up by the sovereignty of God. It's just like you plant corn on the farm, and then because you are hungry, 2 weeks later you speak in tongues expecting the harvest. It's no longer in your hands. Your faith can't influence it. You sowed that seed into a principle, and the principle is the possibility of seed time and harvest. It will, the principle will have to manifest its faithfulness. If you are still with me, say amen. He judged him faithful who has what? That God is not a man that he should lie. He is not the son of man that he should repent. God's bond is his word. And if he has as much as given you his word, he will stand to bring it to pass in spite of the contradictions that are sustained in your circumstances. The second thing about faith is that it hangs on a broken knowledge of the fact that God is a God of fidelity. If you allow the devil puncture that valve of confidence, what you have allowed is an abortion, because it is possible for you to cast away your confidence and all the rewards that are supposed to be accompaniments with that confidence. They die out. When I discovered these things, I said in my heart that never again would the devil cheat me out of that which God has spoken to me and that which God has declared over my life. Never again. Never again. And I can tell you stories of things that God told me 15 years ago that came to pass 15 years later. I was waiting for him. I waited for 15. I can tell you stories. Stories of things that God said 20 years ago. I waited for 20 years before it came to pass. I've come to understand a little about a prophetic word, about an utterance of God. It has its own economy, it has its own gestation period, it has its own shelf life, it has its own. But you see, one thing is sure, if that word is still alive in your heart, it will be kicking like a baby. As long as you judge him faithful who has promised. Finally, number three, before we pray, I don't know how many faith babies you have aborted. You allow the circumstances to become more real to you than the God that is walking from your spirit man. You will need to make a choice either to focus on what God is doing inside of your spirit, or a choice to become a slave of the circumstances that are brewing around you. Every man and woman of it. You see, imagine when God called Noah. There had been no rain before that time. And God began to tell this man, you build an ark. And he took 120 years to build that ark. He was a fool for 120 years. The circumstances suggested that he was the greatest monumental fool. And the only evidences he had that suggested that what he was doing was right were the signs he had in his heart. Those faint, bleak signs. And that man ignored every contradiction from his generation and believed in what was happening. In fact, he became a preacher of righteousness to make a possible escape route for his generation that was going the other way from God. And for 120 years, he spoke about rain. And because it had never happened before, people could not even conceive it, so they just concluded that he had a psychiatric situation. A true man of faith will be considered to have a psychiatric situation. A true man of faith. Oh my. I remember I came out of the closet. I don't know what happened that day, but in my own practice of ministry, that is the day God knew the day was coming. So he helped me. He helped me. I was in the closet and he told me, he will preach around the world. I'm talking about many years ago. And as at that time, I was training our first crop of disciples to know what it takes to establish the life of prayer. So they felt my pressure for prayer was too much. That it must not be this hard. Some people even said, came to me and spoke to me, Pastor, God is not this wicked, and left. I know. This is you. This is not God. And that was a campaign that was raining a congregation, that I was suffering them. And I came, everybody left. The people that were remaining were 25 people. All right? Imagine. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You come out from your closet fully anointed, then you met 25 people. And when I came to the pulpit, the Lord said I should prophesy that we are taking the gospel round the globe. And I was talking to 25 people. That day they concluded that it was schizophrenia, that there was a mental, there was a bipolar condition. I closed my eyes and I said, I saw in the spirit. Because a true man of faith, they would think you are schizophrenic. You are having a bipolar disorder. You have a psychiatric situation. He was a preacher of righteousness, telling them that rain was coming and the rain would destroy the land. And this ark that he was building was going to be the only means of escape. What did God do to them that made them believe what was going on in their heart much more than the norm in their society, the norm in their generation? It was because there was an inner revelation that God crystallized. And when he crystallized that revelation in the heart of Noah, and for Noah it was that the God that has spoken to him can never change his mind. That was the reason for the urgency. He had a rhythm that was different from the rhythm and the emphasis of his generation, because God had moved over his heart. The question is this: will you believe God or will you believe your situation? It is possible for you to abort the process. And so the apostle said, cast not away thy confidence. I prophesy, I will be about that which God has spoken to me. I prophesy to you now. That which God has spoken, that you have believed, that has made the people around you think that you are going nuts, that this your church thing is becoming too much. I tell you, that is God, the manifestation of those things that you believe
is going to be the basis upon which all those people will be gathered unto you to follow you to that church that made you such a person, that was so visionary, that could see beyond your time and your day. The same things for which you have been mocked will become the same things for which you will be celebrated. Sit down. Finally, before we pray together. Hebrews 11. By faith, 8. Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went, not knowing whither he went. By faith, that place, he went there, but he did not know. There was a gap in his mind, but there was something that was furnished on his inside that made it look like the right thing to do is to move. He was not moving on explanations. He was moving on instructions. Faith is by instructions and not by explanations. Many times you would need to leave your mind behind. I know you are a civil engineer. I know you studied in UNILAG medicine, and you know how things work. You understand the logic of destiny administration. God is going to put you in a mess because he will allow you to put your heart ahead of your mind. By faith he obeyed. You see, the reason why he obeyed was because he had an assurance that was consistent over time. In my family, no one will say, don't marry from another tribe. Nobody will tell you. But if you do, and if you want to do, nobody will support you. You are going to be on your own. And in the place of prayer, God spoke to me about my wife from Western Nigeria. I checked again, it was the same thing. I said, alright. I took her to my people. I said, we have never brought a lady to us. We even thought you had a problem. We are happy. Took her to my mom. Hey, my son wants to marry Jesus Christ. It was only my mom that said that sincerely. Every other person was not going to help me. So, and I knew they were not going to help, so I started saving money. Then my salary was 60,000. I'm talking about, when was that? 2004. 60K. I saved 1 million. I was expecting somebody to say, you try. I saved 1 million. And then one day we came to church like this. I was happy that I could save it so that even if you don't come, don't worry. I was in worship when the Lord said, that 1 million, bring it to me. Bring that 1 million. I stopped the prayer and bound the devil. Do you know what it takes to save 1 million from a salary of 60,000? Jesus Christ. I said, why, if you knew I would give this money, why did you allow me save it? And meanwhile, he didn't say, when you give the 1 million, then I will not do your wedding for you. He didn't say that. And he said that lie. 1 million. 1 million. You say it's small. You say lie. 1 million. 1 million. 1 million. I died. You know, the only reason why I obeyed was because I knew it was God. And I did not hurry to obey. I was in the limbo, in limbo for 2 weeks. And even when I had given the money in my heart, I didn't give it. I felt it. I was bullied. It was subsequently that he shed more light that I broke down and repented. So the confidence, the security that I had because I had some savings was no longer in view. And you know now, from the West, people from the West, your way is lace, lace. When I came for introduction, they brought the lace, the woman that brings bale of lace from Italy. You touch this one, you hear the amount. Touch that one. You touch this one, they say. And I told the woman, look for the costless one. She brought that one out. Mentioned the amount. I said, okay. Meanwhile, I said, this is where we are going. The moment I came back to the office after the introduction, the management staff was taking a file somewhere, and one secret document fell off, and our union answered it, that they actually cut off a percentage of our salary illegally. Aluta. When that aluta started, the management called us. When they paid us back, the amount was the exact amount for the lease. Wait, stay. When we were talking about the wedding, they called me and said, okay, you are a small boy. You don't need to do anything in this wedding. I said, no. My people will not agree. What do you want me to do? Yes, these are the items. There are 8 items. How many do you want me to take? They said, just take one. And that one then was 200,000. No, 179,000. I said, make it 200,000. Nothing here. Came back again. Another secret file was discovered. And when they paid, it was the exact amount. You know, God was trying, he's trying to renew my mind. Are you with me? The same amount. Then when we now came for the wedding, a man now showed up from Lagos and he asked, how much is the whole cost of this wedding? They say 5 million. He paid. And he didn't even attend the wedding. During the wedding, I was given a fully air-conditioned vehicle. Are you with me? So I start, that was when I started honing. Even a filling station, I will horn. God sponsored my wedding. Then I knew from that day that it's a privilege for God to instruct you. Cast not away thy confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. The prayer this morning is simple. Have you cast away something? You're going to get it back. The thing about faith babies, they can be revived. Anyone you cast away, or you no longer believe that the marriage thing can happen for you, I challenge you. I challenge you to revive it this morning. Oh Jesus, you no longer believe that the things that God started with you, that the devil came and attacked, can revive. I challenge you to pray this morning, because this morning is dedicated to the revival of substance. Everything you stop believing, I challenge you to believe again, and the Lord will confound your wisdom. Cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. If somebody is here, it's time to pray. You are reviving everything you stop believing. You want to begin to believe it afresh, because God is going to make it good in the name of Jesus. pray this morning. And I ask, oh God, concerning everyone that is in this room and everyone that is listening online, those fake babies that have been cast off, babies of financial breakthroughs, financial miracles, and you think the season is overpassed, it's no longer reasonable to keep believing. All those babies, fake babies of marital miracles that you cast off because of the last disappointment, I challenge you to revive it. And in a moment of time, you want to begin to pray and decree that I still believe that you will bring about a performance. Quicken that baby right now. Let that baby come to life right now. I still believe. Release your faith in prayer, and then we'll pray as a congregation. And I believe that things that are dead in your heart, they will come back to life. Things that have been forgotten, they will be activated by the hand of God. I believe, because it is written, with men these things might be impossible, but not with God. Because with God, all things are possible. I believe, because our God is not a man that he should lie. It's not a son of man that he should repent. If God has said it, he will make it good. If God has spoken it, he will bring it to pass. And so my soul awake. It is time to believe in the Lord, and he will grant that the things that he has spoken will become revived in your heart. Those babies that you cast out, they will live again in your heart, because God never starts anything that he doesn't have the ability to finish. Even this morning, God revives. He revives that miracle in your heart. He revives the procedure of the manifestation he wants initiated. Cast not away your confidence, for therein lies a great recompense of reward. In the name of Jesus, let's pray as a congregation. Father, I pray for everyone here and everyone listening under the sound of my voice, that you will grant that every fake baby that has been discarded will be quickened, will be brought back to life. Let the process be restored, and let the manifestation be sure, in the name of Jesus. I'm clapping for Jesus. You can sure do better. I still believe. What touched me the most was how he, when I stood up, when he said he gave that money, a lot of people do not know why he stood up. I stood up because I saw a man willing to obey God, even if